We've got two more parts, and this is the second part, of this section. And this is started off by the two different reasons for offering a peace offering. One is for thanksgiving, and the second for a vow. But lest we begin to think that the resurrection has already passed, this offering still has two different reasons for being offered to show us that we, the church, are still in a body of this death, sinful flesh. The first point is for thanksgiving in Leviticus chapter 7, verses 11 to 15. And this is the law of the sacrifice of peace offerings, which he shall offer unto the Lord. If he offer it for a thanksgiving, then he shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving unleavened cakes mingled with oil, and unleavened wafers anointed with oil, and cakes mingled with oil of fine flour fried. Besides the cakes, he shall offer for his offering leavened bread with the sacrifice of thanksgiving of his peace offerings. And of it he shall offer one out of the whole oblation for an heave offering unto the Lord. And it shall be the priest that sprinkleth the blood of the peace offerings. And the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offering for thanksgiving shall be eaten the same day that it is offered. He shall not leave any of it until the morning. Leavened bread with the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Why is leavened bread, which cannot be burnt on the altar, accepted with the sacrifice of the peace offering? It is to show us that while the church is flesh and cannot inherit the kingdom, and cannot as flesh be in the kingdom and in the presence of the Father, yet our priest identifies with us and is nourished with us in our communion with him. Think it back to the point at that day, you will know that I'm in you, you're in me, and I'm in the Father. So we're blessed to be connected to our priest, and the Father, of course, is dragging us to Christ for that reason, to be nourished, to be judged, but to be nourished through that judgment. Leviticus 7, verses 13 and 14. Besides the cakes, he shall offer for his offering leavened bread with the sacrifice of thanksgiving of his peace offerings. And of it he shall offer one out of the whole oblation for a heave offering unto the Lord, and it shall be the priest that sprinkleth the blood of the peace offerings. This is just one more gaping hole in the fullness now, the resurrection is already past doctrine, which still to this day plagues God's church. The church is the leavened bread of the Pentecost offering. As long as we are flesh, we cannot inherit the kingdom, but in down payment earnest form. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. And when are we redeemed? Are we redeemed already? In down payment form? Yes, but not in the redemption of the purchased possession. Romans 8, verse 23, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Ephesians 4, verses 11 to 13. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. And that's beautiful how that verse connects with Romans 8:23, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body, and grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. And for this cause, for that cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. And the second part, a vow, being faithful to the word of God. Leviticus 17, verses 16 to 21. But if the sacrifice of his offering be a vow or a voluntary offering, it shall be eaten the same day that he offers his sacrifice. On the morrow also the remainder of it shall be eaten. But the remainder of the flesh of the sacrifice on the third day shall be burnt with fire. And if any of the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offerings be eaten at all on the third day, it shall not be accepted. Neither shall it be imputed unto him that offereth it. It shall be an abomination, and the soul that eateth of it shall bear his iniquity. And we only have to think of the, when you see the word accepted, it's almost always reminding us that we're only accepted in Christ, and flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom. So this is what it's telling us. There is no, the relationship is for us to partake of the body and blood of Christ, to have this new spiritual relationship that's in earnest, but that is working and growing to that point of being in the blessed and holy first resurrection. Verse 19, and the flesh that touches any unclean thing shall not be eaten. It shall be burnt with fire. And as for the flesh, all that be clean shall eat thereof. But the soul that eateth of the flesh of the sacrifice of peace offerings that pertain unto the Lord, having his uncleanness upon him, even that soul shall be cut off from his people. Moreover, the soul that shall touch any unclean thing, as the uncleanness of man, or any unclean beast, or any abominable unclean thing, and eat of the flesh of the sacrifice of peace offerings, which pertain unto the Lord, even that soul shall be cut off from his people. This all has to do with trying the spirits to see whether your spiritual food is of God. Amen. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 21. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. And the verse, which we all know, we have a table which they cannot, which serve the tabernacle, the temple, the tabernacle rather, which they can't eat at. 1 Corinthians 5, verses 11 to 13. But now I have written unto you not to keep company, if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such a one, know not to eat. And that's talking about spiritually, of course. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not you judge them that are within? But them that are without, God judges. Therefore, put away from among yourself that wicked person. So that happens, and we obviously know how to do that because God has showed us how to do that and how important it is. But he's also saying here, we don't measure the court. We don't measure that. God takes care of those things. So if someone is a fornicator, if someone's a drunkard or an idolater, we know not to eat with such a one. But if that person persists and continues in that way of life, then yeah, we approach them and we apply Matthew 18 to that situation. And we keep the body healthy, of course, by doing that. But that's when God, if he's going to judge that person and keep working with them, they go without, and they're buffeted of the devil. And if it's God's will, they'll come back. Second John 1 verse 10, if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. And that's what we were talking about earlier. We don't give them Godspeed. We don't cut them off. We don't cut anyone off. If someone comes to us, we love our neighbor as ourselves, but we obey God's commandments, of course, and we do that in the manner that we're being taught here. 1 John 4, verses 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. 1 Timothy 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. So those doctrines are out there, and the devils are out there, and God wants us to be armed with his mind. And of course, it's Christ who alone can give us the power to quench all of those darts. But we do have to be circumspect. In every situation that God puts us in, we need to be wise as serpents, gentle as doves, and beware of men. What is the meaning of the in the morning and the third day? Morning equals resurrection. The Psalms 49, verse 14, like sheep, they are laid in the grave. Death shall feed on them, and the upright shall have dominion over them in the morning. And their beauty shall consume in the grave from their dwelling. But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me, Selah. And we were kind of talking about that last night, how the judgment is being talked about here. We're consumed. The old man is dying daily, but we're baptized into the death of Christ. So we're alive. We're dead to sin, sinful flesh, but we're alive in Christ. And God, of course, is the one working that. God is redeeming our souls from the power of the grave by our dying daily process. And they shall eat the flesh in that night. Exodus 12, verse 8. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Down to verse 10. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. And you shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which remaineth of it until the morning, you shall burn with fire. Romans 13, verses 11 and 12. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Romans 6, verse, chapter 6, verse 4. Therefore, we are, and this is how we do that, we are buried with him by baptism into death, dying daily, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So we're raised in heavenly places if God is granting us that ability to die daily, to mortify the deeds of the flesh, to recognize that we need to pray for his power and strength to overcome in this life so we can continue to be raised in heavenly places. And that, in fact, is what it means to be witnesses of these things. This body of Christ, we're all helping each other. Our fervent prayers are delivering us. And this is what the meaning of in the morning and the third day is talking about. We have to be raised day by day. There is an ultimate moment when we'll be resurrected in the first resurrection, Lord willing. But every day we have to be asking the Lord, keep us thinking on things above and not just things on the earth, but when we think on things of the earth, put them into perspective of what they are and why they are. And that is why Mike goes on to say, there was to be no flesh left until the morning. Ever wonder why Christ is called the morning star? Revelation 2, verses 26 to 29. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And we start off, of course, within, and then we'll rule without. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. So Christ, in fact, is breaking those nations within us. We have those vessels. We are those vessels that are being broken by the master potter so that we can become a new vessel. And I will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. Here is why. Christ is called the morning star. Here is why. John 11, verse 25. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Now we are. We're dead to sin and alive in Christ, but he's speaking of things that are not as though they are as well, because those who have died in the Lord, they're one moment away, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. I was just reading that again today, how the dead in Christ will rise first, and then those who remain and are standing will be raised up and be with the Lord. But we are with the Lord. We are there in earnest right now. The third day. Hosea chapter 6, verse 2. After 2 days will he revive us. In the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Luke 13, verse 32. And he said unto them, go you and tell that fox, behold, I cast out devils, and I do cures today and tomorrow, all within us. And the third day I shall be perfected. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 4. And he and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. And that really just confirms, too, that Christ was in sinful flesh, that he had to go through that process. He never sinned, but he had to go through that process. Which scriptures? This among others. Leviticus 7, verses 16 to 18. Now, getting back to the third day. But if the sacrifice of his offering be a vow or a voluntary offering, it shall be eaten the same day that he offereth his sacrifice, and on the morrow also the remainder of it shall be eaten. But the remainder of the flesh of the sacrifice on the third day shall be burnt with fire. And if any of the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offering be eaten at all on the third day, it shall not be accepted, neither shall it be imputed unto him that offereth it. It shall be an abomination, and the soul that eateth of it shall bear his iniquity. And I think there is a connection there, because iniquity, we know, is self-righteousness. It's like the sacrifice is complete and done. You can't add to what God has done. And Christ is that sacrifice. So eating when you're not supposed to be eating is telling us that you're operating in your flesh. But these verses also foretold Christ's resurrection. Exodus 12, verse 10. And you shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which remaineth of it until the morning, you shall burn with fire. Leviticus 7, verse 15. And the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offerings for thanksgiving shall be eaten the same day that it is offered. He shall not leave any of it until the morning. Here's the very pinnacle point. Flesh is not accepted in resurrection and in the morning and the third day are both merely different views of resurrection, in the morning being the better and brighter of the two. And that's where we're going to cut off. And then the last part we'll look at next week, Lord willing, is with what body do they come? Which is a very amazing section of the study and in the scripture we'll look at. Thank you all for coming out.